The New Testament reading is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27, and chapter 6, verse 4. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel reading is from Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight, and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
So as many countries around the world are celebrating Father's Day today, we're pausing in our brief series on the fruit of the Spirit to look at fatherhood from a Christian biblical perspective. And so this morning I'm going to scratch the surface of what and who God is as Father, and how that relates to us. In our Gospel reading from Luke this morning, Jesus' disciples ask him to teach them to pray. And so Jesus gives them what has become known as the Lord's Prayer. Matthew's account is the fuller version that we're more used to, but both give us a structure for prayer that includes acknowledging God's supreme authority, saying sorry for our sins, asking God to meet our basic needs, and seeking his protection. Jesus tells his disciples to do this on the basis that God is their Father, and that as God's children they can come to him confident of his protection and provision. But as God's children they also have certain responsibilities of behaviour towards their Father and others. As Jews, the disciples would have been used to the assurance that they belonged to God. They belonged to God's chosen people, and therefore they belonged to God. But this belonging through being children of God, of God being their Father, was something new. Are all people children of God? Sadly, no. In the opening chapter of John's Gospel, where John announces Jesus Christ as the Word made flesh coming into the world, we read, Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. So being born of God is dependent on believing in Christ. All of creation is created by God, and as such demands our utmost care and respect. All people are created by God in his image, and as such demand particular care and respect. But it is through faith in Christ that we become children of God, and we are given the right to call him Father. One of the biggest stumbling blocks to people coming to faith in a Father God is their experience of human fathers or men. But it's a mistake to look at human fathers or men and assume that is what God is like. Because our Heavenly Father has none of our faults, none of our failings, and none of our fallenness. Our Heavenly Father is the superlative of every good thing that we could say about him. As his children, we never have to be afraid of God. He loves us completely in spite of our many failings. He delights in us, for we are his children. The Apostle John says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God." The Apostle Paul goes further. "Because you are his children, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." The word Abba is a personal and intimate word, meaning dad or daddy or pa. This is the relationship that God invites everyone into. Not distant, not formal, not reserved, but intimate, joyful, and overflowing. Not based on anything we have done, but every single bit of it based on God the Father reaching out to us through Jesus Christ, God the Son. And every single bit of it motivated by love. God cannot force his love on us, because forced love is not love at all, but control. An addict may be forced into rehab, but I'm told that if they do not want to be freed of their addiction, then there's very little chance of the rehab working. They have to really want to be free. You may remember Jesus' parable of the prodigal son. The father of the prodigal son had to wait until his wayward son came to his senses and came home. But when he did, his father ran to him with open arms of forgiveness and acceptance and embraced him with love. Our Father longs for us to long for him, to be hungry for more and more of him, more of his love, more of his presence. Jesus says, "Ask, seek, knock." Ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. Jesus says, "If natural fathers, with all of our failings, know how to give our children good things, then how much more will the perfect Heavenly Father give us the Holy Spirit, so that he can guide us always, so that we can know him always, so that we can be with him always?" This is how the Apostle Paul describes it in his prayer for the Christians in Ephesus. "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, which includes us, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Our Heavenly Father loves us with a limitless love. Our Heavenly Father has given everything for us through Christ. Our Heavenly Father provides for us. Our Heavenly Father protects us. Pure love, selfless sacrifice, perfect provision and protection. This we see in our Heavenly Father, and this is the unbelievably high bar that we as Christian husbands and fathers have been set. Later in Paul's letter to the Ephesian Christians, his instructions to husbands say we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church, laying down our lives for our wives, setting aside our agendas, our wants, our selfishness. We are to be the pedestals upon which our wives are raised up, so that they can become everything that God desires for them. Paul goes on, as fathers, we must not exasperate our children with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or inconsistent or humiliating or abusive, so that they don't have a clue whether they're coming or going. Rather, we are to raise them, nurture them to maturity in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. In other words, don't raise our children according to what we want, but according to what our Heavenly Father wants. Thank God for His mercy, is all I can say. Thank God for His mercy. So fatherhood involves love, sacrifice, provision and protection. Obviously these are not exclusive to fathers or men. Who knows how to love and sacrifice better than a mother? Nor are they the sole responsibility of men. Thankfully, over the past generation or two, we've begun to see an equalization of traditional gender roles in society and in the church. Increasingly, women are now taking their rightful places in leadership. Looking at the mess of the world, which has occurred almost exclusively under the leadership of men, I believe this equalization has been long overdue. So if our wives, our sisters and our daughters are now free to be better than us at pretty much everything, where does that leave the role of men and fathers in the world today? Now I've read somewhere, and I think it rings true, that what makes us tick, men and women, hasn't really changed. There is in the heart of men a desire to achieve greatness. I don't mean to become famous or important, but to do something that matters, something that makes a difference. Men don't tend to grow out of their yearning for adventure, to fight dragons and to rescue fair maidens, and even to give our lives for a noble cause. At heart, men never lose the desire to be heroes. Sadly, our fallenness can often turn all of that into a desire to dominate and control that seeks self-importance and praise. One of my favourite books is The Lord of the Rings. It's an epic story of good and evil. There is a scene in the book where the main characters are having to go through a mountain range, literally. Using old tunnels and mine workings, it takes several days. All around them is darkness and danger. They could be discovered by their enemies at any moment. They almost make it. They are almost through when they are discovered. They have to run for their lives, but they can't outrun the monster of evil that pursues them. So Gandalf, the father figure of the group, sends the others across the narrow bridge over a bottomless cavern, and turns to face the monster. He puts himself between the monster and his fellows, and he declares, "I am a servant of the secret fire. I am a wielder of the sword of Arnor. You cannot pass." Perhaps this is a bit fanciful, but I suggest, gentlemen, that this is where our true role and responsibility lies. The defence of our families, our church and our communities against the evil that would destroy them. Later, in his letter to the Ephesians, Paul tells us plainly that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly realms. And in that famous passage, he tells us to put on the full armour of God so that we can stand against the devil's schemes. Now, all Christians, women and men, are to put on that full armour of God. All Christians, women and men, are bearers of the presence and power of God the Holy Spirit, and as such, all Christians, women and men, have God-given authority over the devil. But I suggest, brothers, that this is our particular responsibility. As prayer warriors, to put ourselves between our loved ones and the enemy and declare, I am a son of the living God. I am a prince in the kingdom of heaven. You cannot pass. We must not neglect this responsibility. But we are equipped for more than defence. We are equipped for offence too. Jesus said that the gates of hell will not stand against his followers. This is the quest that we were born for. This is the cause we are to fight for, and this is the mission we are to give our lives for. Our example is the Lord Jesus. To be like Jesus in our obedience to our Heavenly Father is the greatest expression of love we can have for our Heavenly Father. To be like Jesus in the way we love our wives and children is the greatest expression of love a dad can give to his family. To be like Jesus in the way we bring the love of God to a broken world, standing against the injustice, speaking for the voiceless, protecting the defenseless, is the greatest expression of love we can have for the world. To be like Jesus is the greatest ambition anyone can have. And to hand that on is the greatest legacy that we can leave. Now we're going to watch a short film now that says it better than I ever could. And then Salome will lead us in prayer.